You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Wednesday. It's hour one. Come on in, stay a while. We'll explore what the Bucks accomplished and should they be the favorites next year. Yep, we've already put an exclamation point at the end of 2021. We're ready to move on to next year. Who's the favorite? Steelers Cowboys start training camp. We'll check in with Ed Werder. Ed Werder has more. He covers the Cowboys. He'll join us a little bit later on. Phone calls are welcome. Emails, tweets, all around support from you. Always welcome here. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and also Fox Sports Radio, iHeart Radio, and our nearly 400 cities around America that keeps this award-winning program churning. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. McLovin is still on vacation. Fritzy has double duty there in the back row. And of all the weeks for McLovin to miss, the Milwaukee Bucks fan, the resident Milwaukee Bucks fan, is actually in Iceland. Remember, it was 4 years ago, we got a box from Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Bucks, and it was just gear. And McLovin said, I'm going to take all of this. So he took all of the gear, and it's probably the best product placement anybody's ever had on this show, but they sent a box of free stuff, and McLovin went crazy and started wearing it all the time. Now, he's from Philly, but he started wearing his Milwaukee Bucks gear. But Milwaukee Bucks celebrating, and maybe somewhere in Iceland, McLovin celebrating as well. Congrats to the Bucks and the great fans there. They were a huge presence both inside and outside the building last night. It was a great scene. But it did feel like that was almost the victory parade the night of winning a championship. But I mentioned this at the start of the postseason, probably reiterated that a couple of weeks ago. Whoever was the healthiest and whoever made their free throws was probably going to win the championship. It was going to come down to health. And remember, Giannis, we didn't know. We thought he might miss the rest of the playoffs with that hyperextended knee. But 17 of 19 last night from the line en route to 50 points, burying the Suns. And this is really more than just about the Greek freak. You come back from a 2-0 deficit against the Nets and the Suns. You know, Giannis goes down. You don't get derailed. Chris Middleton steps up. Drew Holiday makes everyone understand why other players hold him in such high regard. And even coach Mike Budenholzer, he had to ignore the criticism and lead his team to a title. And I thought he made adjustments in the NBA Finals. I didn't think he made adjustments earlier, but he did in the NBA Finals. I'll go back, and it's not going to be talked about, but I do think that this might have been the turning point of the NBA Finals. It's not the Greek freak. It wasn't a block. It wasn't a dunk. It was Drew Holiday picking Chris Paul up three quarters court. I know you're probably saying, what? I just think it changed the whole rhythm of the Phoenix Suns because it allowed Chris Paul at age 36 to just kind of, you know, get over half court at his own pace. And Holiday, who is one of the better defenders in the league, I think picking up Chris Paul played an integral part of them winning this championship. Long, grueling postseason. I'm sure people are going to say, got to put an asterisk by this. As I always say, you can kiss my asterisk. You won a championship, and you don't have to look back, right? Giannis saved his best game for the finals, the stuff of legends, and now the 2021 Bucks, part of NBA history. And you look at closeout games. I'll go back to Walt Frazier with the New York Knicks against the Lakers. I think he had 36 points, 19 assists. Magic against the 76ers without Kareem. You can even go back further than that. Bob Pettit had 50 points in a closeout game. But what you saw with Giannis last night is he got better and better and better. And I had been saying at the start of the playoffs or start of the finals, I don't want him bringing the ball up the floor. I don't want him shooting jumpers. I want him inside. He can't be stopped. That was it. Go inside and dominate. Make them have to deal with you because that's the hard Giannis to deal with. Jump shooting, I know he made a three. I don't care about any of that. But inside, he's so slithery. Kind of reminds me of Kevin McHale, who's as good a low post player as there's ever been in this sport. Unguardable. And Giannis down low against Ayton, who's a pretty good defender, But even when they're trying to double team, he was just wonderful. Plus, you can't help but root for him. I mean, there's nothing polarizing about Giannis. You come over, he looks like a spindly kid, and he was. You know, you select him, what, 15th? And the Bucks didn't know what they had. Giannis didn't know, you know, what they had or who he was. I mean, that's why he's taken 15th. But you look at what he's done to get himself better. I mean, that's what's amazing. He made himself better. And you could tell that he will continue to do that. He'll continue to be better, want to be better, improve his shot, you know, be more consistent at the free throw line. But I did like a lot of what he said. You can't help but, you know, think he's a special person. But I love what he had to say about the free throws because, hey, every place he goes, they're counting one, two, three. He's shooting air balls, which I'd been critical of, that you can't be. I mean, you go to the line too often, you can't be shooting air balls. That's embarrassing. But he heard everything, and then he wanted to let all of us know. How about this?
You know, don't let nobody tell you what you can be and what you cannot do. You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight, and I'm a freaking champion. I made them and I'm supposed to make them. You know, but I'm joking. Actually, I'm not.
A little bit of truth in every bit of kidding there.
Actually, I'm joking. Actually, I'm not.
No, I'm not. Yeah. You can't help but like him and root for him. It's a special story where he came from. You know, he's got his two other brothers in the NBA. And he also talked about, we talk about the 76ers having a process or so-called process. Here is Giannis talking about Milwaukee's process.
Coach Bai believed in me, told me that in order for me to win, in order for me to be great, I have to trust my teammate. You know, I have to trust my teammate, I have to make the right pass. You know, I cannot be stubborn, you know, and I got to trust the process. You know, and it was a three-year process, but we got it done. I want to thank all of these guys. And as I said, I've done it all on the court. I've done it all off the court. And I'm keep going. I can't stop.
And they got Jrue Holiday. I think that was really important because there was a lot of talk that Giannis was going to leave Milwaukee. And of course, it was going to be Miami Heat or the Lakers. And he didn't want to join a super team.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believed in me. They believed in us. Even when we were like, we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still one. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
This isn't a formula that teams can follow, just so you know. It's like, let's take a guy that we don't know if he can play. He's from Greece and doesn't look like he could hold up his body. 5 years later, he's the MVP. He's won the MVP twice, the MVP of the finals. This just doesn't happen. And it's one of the great closeout games of all time. You start to wonder who's more likely to get back to the finals. Well, the Bucks are going to have to go through a Brooklyn team that we think will be healthier. I don't know if there's somebody else that you look at in the East and go, all right, let's see what Philadelphia does in the offseason. But I would say Milwaukee would be more likely than Phoenix. I don't know what's going to happen to Chris Paul. Here is Chris Paul after the game.
Knowing that for so long you worked to get to this point, is there any solace in, hey, I've had this experience,
no,
and I can learn from it, and I might get back here?
I mean, it'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
He's going to be 37, and I think there were reports that came out during the playoffs that he would probably decline a player option, a one-year option, and then he would probably sign a three-year deal for $100 million with the Suns. If I'm Phoenix, I got to really look long and hard at that decision to sign him up for three more years. He had a good year. It just wasn't a great ending here. And I'm not going to put all of this on Chris Paul. I was not going to give him all the credit if they won. But I'm not giving him all the blame, certainly. It was not a great team. I think you had Booker who played great at times. But that was a tough night for him. DeAndre Ayton had some great games in the playoffs. But when you have to, there's nothing. If you say to a guy, hey, I need you on the offensive end, but all you keep thinking about is what's going on the defensive end, because he knows whatever happens at the offensive end, now I got to go back and guard Giannis. And I got to guard Giannis the entire night, and he is not taking any time off. He played 42 minutes, and he was bringing it right to DeAndre Ayton. After a while, that wears you out, where you go, my God, he just scored again on me. Now let's go down at the other end. This Milwaukee team seemed like it was a better full team, deeper team, and they got contributions from people. And Mike Budenholzer did make some adjustments there. Yes, he,
is that something you have to learn? Like if you're DeAndre Ayton, to manage that, those sort of understanding that you're going to give up buckets, but you still have to, you know, like when they talk about you have to learn mentally what it takes to win a finals and win a championship. Is that sort of what they're referring to?
He did say afterwards, hey, we didn't win, but this was a lot of fun. Like he, and he's a great personality too, and seems like a great kid. But I don't know if you in that mindset of how does this not affect you at the other end of the floor where you're just being humbled? I mean, that's really what it is. And throughout the series, he was humbled by Giannis. And you know, when you're a young player, I guess you can bounce back. You have more resiliency to bounce back. But I'm curious DeAndre Ayton's trajectory, what his career arc is going to be after this season. Because I thought he was really good, you know, and he could be a Hall of Good player for the Phoenix Suns. And Devin Booker looks like he'll be a Hall of Famer. But for everybody else in that supporting cast, they need a little. They're going to need a little bit more firepower if they're going to think about getting back. And certainly in the West. All right, this program is brought to you by the great folks at M Drive Boost and Burn. It's the daily supplement you take. It helps boost energy. And burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Tim Legler from the Mothership will join us to recap what we saw and who should be the favorites next season. Fritzy is doing the poll question honors today.
I am.
Okay.
A few options include, is this the start of a Buck dynasty?
You used that earlier this morning.
I did, and I repurposed it just for you. Yes or no?
You know, probably a few thousand others did that on Twitter last night. Buck Dynasty.
We also have, will Chris Paul ever get back to the NBA Finals before he calls it a career?
Okay.
And I also threw in one that is, would you stand outside in the middle of a crowd of 25,000 screaming fans as they do in the Deer District, I have a strong feeling about?
Well, that wasn't 25,000.
Was it like 40,000, 50,000?
They said around 60,000.
60,000?
Yes, 60,000.
I have strong feelings about that.
I really
do.
Okay.
I was having a minor anxiety, like panic attack, picturing myself in the middle.
But you
of
were
that.
At home.
I was home. I was home. I had air conditioning. I had a cold drink. I had a little snack. I was relaxed. But every time they showed that crowd, I envisioned myself for a moment in the middle of that. And if I had to leave for some reason, I'm not even talking about a restroom, just everyone's on top of you and the chance of getting trampled and they're screaming. And if you need to, you can't say excuse me to 60,000 people as you need to get to wherever you have to go. It just didn't seem like a good time to stand there on top of everybody in the middle like that. Seemed a little frightening to me.
You might have been the only person watching last night that thought about, oh, my God, I would hate to be in the middle of that.
I thought it looked awesome from, like, if you're, like, at the Goodyear blimp or, you know, you're home and everything and, you know, it's not happening to you. But for some reason, I started, like, perspiring a little bit. I got a little bit of an anxiety attack picturing what if I was in the middle of that group.
Well, you get claustrophobic.
I do.
And we've seen that before. At the sausage races, where you just have a costume on and you got claustrophobic.
But if you're at a sporting event or a movie theater, something, you could say excuse me to a few people. You know, if you're sitting in the middle of the aisle, what was going on there is a whole other story about trying to get out of that.
I did wonder about the bathroom situation for 65,000 fans last night. So they had a crowd shot, and then one of the shots they showed, it looked like 50 porta potties on the other side. And then I thought, wow, that'd be a long walk for you. Excuse me, pardon me, Yeah. Now, I understand that part of it, Todd. Yes.
So they had a porta potty district. They had their own porta potty district.
I feel like by the time you get to that porta potty, too, it's not going to be an ideal shape.
No.
A crowd like that.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Yes, Paul.
Dan, I have a porta potty policy. And if you listen to one thing I've ever said before in my life, you out there, this is the biggest piece of advice I give you. I went to a NASCAR race. And I used a porta potty about 7 or 8 times last weekend. When you enter the porta potty, never.
Hold your breath.
No.
Oh.
Never, ever look down.
Right. Yeah.
Look straight. Turn to your left. Do what you have to do. Clean up the best you can and exit the premises. Never look down.
Okay.
Never look down. Say it again.
Never look down.
Forward, left.
Never look down.
Business, go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
I also always get worried that there's going to be some teenagers pulling some kind of prank, rocking the thing or trying to knock it over when you're in there. And you know there's going to be a long line for them. They don't have 60,000 porta potties. So even when you finally get there, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are in front of you in the line and just to enjoy the experience of one of those disgusting little things.
This is just watching the game last night from his couch.
I know.
I found it very traumatizing and upsetting to picture myself in the middle of that crowd.
Well, it looked like everybody was having a great time. But, you know, when I'm watching it, the last thing I'm thinking is, gosh, I wonder what Todd would think if he's in the middle of that crowd.
Like if you're feeling a little pale or you don't feel just right and you don't have like a ginger ale with you or something to just kind of make you feel a little bit, if you get feeling a little nauseous or something's not just right, what do you do? There's 60,000 people around you. If you're not feeling well, or you're feeling like everyone's on top of you and you're having a little, you know, anxiety attack, I don't know what you do. You just pass out.
But everybody was feeling well because they had the heightened expectation of winning a championship.
I understand it, but of 60,000 people, there's a good chance someone's blood pressure is going up or someone's just feeling a little unwell, and I don't know how you get out of there or how any kind of medical staff can get to that person.
This is why you don't like leaving the house.
I don't.
I know.
It's probably the best. It's probably for the best. Because Todd just referred to watching it on TV as traumatizing. Seeing it was traumatizing.
You know what? I like the green lights. I like when they're cheering and everything, even though it's on a delay and it's kind of weird. And they go, let's go out to the crowd. And then once someone cues them, a producer, you're on. It's time for you to scream and cheer. And like 4 seconds later, all of a sudden they start cheering. It's just weird. It's too many people on top of each other. It's not healthy. It's not a good idea.
How did you find the negative in this today?
It's not a good idea. And then there were shootings. Of course, you can't win a title without people getting wounded. Like, you know, someone has to get shot after someone wins a title? Why? Just enjoy the celebration.
Let's take a break here. You know, there's probably drinking involved.
Probably.
Let's take a break. Tim Legler will reset this program. And Ed Werder in an hour from now will check in with the Cowboys as they report to camp along with the Steelers. 18 after the hour, back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. There's one brand that pro athletes depend on to help them recover and stay at the top of their game. Level Select CBD Sports Creams and Roll-Ons, the leader in CBD. Ricky Fowler uses Level Select CBD. He had that great final round at the Open Championship, probably used it before and then after. Carson Palmer, big proponent of Level Select CBD. He had 7 surgeries during his 15 years in the NFL. And I remember talking to him. He said, look, I just want to enjoy retirement. I got, you know, young kids. I want to keep up with them. Level Select products are formulated with doctors, contain a high concentration of CBD. That means you're going to feel an immediate difference. But you don't have to be a pro athlete to enjoy safe, fast-acting, effective relief of Level Select CBD. You're out for a 10-minute walk or running a 10K, Level Select can help provide the relief you need. Go to levelselectcbd.com, promo code DAN40. That's 40% off your entire order today. 40%. levelselectcbd.com, promo code DAN40. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Fritzy's watching the pregame festivities on the mothership, and you got 65,000 fans outside the arena. And I don't know what you were thinking when you were watching it, but Fritzy was having a panic attack because he kept thinking, what would it be like if I was in the middle of that? And you were wondering if you know, you didn't have a ginger ale that you would start to panic there.
My initial thought looking at it was, wow, look at the support for this team. This is awesome. There's like 5 times as many people outside than inside. Then I'm like, And I just pictured myself in the middle of that just sea of people, and whether I had to go to the restroom or I started feeling nauseous or something wasn't just right. And
but you have a bathroom card. You've told us about this bathroom card.
I understand that, but just the thought of trying to show that to 60,000 people, they're going to like part the Red Sea for me and let me run to a porta potty. That's not going to happen. And they'll tell me what to do with that card.
Yeah, they will. But you don't have to be in the middle of it. You could be on the fringes of the crowd.
True, but still, just it's very crowded, oh, and it seems like it was. I found it unsettling and off-putting a little bit, and dangerous. I did.
That's why you don't leave your house.
I know. I like to stay put.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, kind enough to join us from Milwaukee. Tim, where does Giannis's performance last night and in this series rank to you all time?
The performance itself last night is one of the greatest I've ever seen, and I don't care, you know, if we're putting in the context, Dan, of NBA playoffs, NBA finals, I don't care, period, just in terms of any player in any game. I think about how many athletes get the rare opportunity to play the greatest game of their lives in the most significant moment of their careers. That's what he put together last night. Very few guys can say those two things in the same sentence, right? The other, a lot of guys can get to the promised land and win a championship, and it might not be their best night. A lot of guys have incredible games in the course of the regular season in their careers, but it's not in this moment. Biggest stage, brightest lights, and he had the greatest game of his career. It was one of the most awesome displays I've ever seen, combining force with finesse, because this is a guy that obviously struggles at the line to do that from the foul line. Had a step back 18 footer in there, had a 3-pointer in there, had a push shot, like a one-handed push shot from the foul line at a critical time in the game, combined with all of that power at the rim and just overwhelming the Suns. It was just an absolutely awesome display. It's almost hard to describe accurately how great he played last night.
I actually think he's underrated, Tim, because we kept looking at what he didn't do instead of what he does do. And, okay, he didn't make his free throws, but he did make his free throws last night. I don't like him handling the ball, bringing it up the floor. I don't like him taking jumpers. I wanted him down on the low post because he was unstoppable there. Boy, this is certainly a message to the rest of the NBA. God forbid if he does hit all of his free throws and he does develop some kind of outside shot. I mean, that's scary. That's a scary, scary proposition for this. And he does want to get greater, as you know, playing in the league. Certain guys get to a certain level and they're fine with that. It doesn't feel like at age 26 he's going to go, you know what, this is the kind of player who I am. It just doesn't seem like that's in his DNA.
Completely agree, and he's the kind of star player. I was thinking about it. You know, I played with a lot of stars over the course of my career, Hall of Fame players, and you know, this is the kind of guy as a star player that you want to play with as a teammate, because there's going to be zero complacency, and that's what you love about him, which is what you're describing. And I think a way to sum it up with him, you know, he doesn't want a great moment. This is a great moment. He doesn't want a great moment. He wants all-time greatness, and that's going to differentiate him. And so it's impossible not to root for this guy. It just is. He's everything you could want an athlete to be. He the way he goes about his business, the kind of person he is, the kind of guy he is to be around every day, upbeat, positive, energetic, hardest worker on the team, so he sets the tone there. Constantly giving praise to those around him, despite the fact that last night he literally lifted an entire team and franchise and city on his back. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy putting something on their back, we use that phrase all the time. Last night, that should be what you see if you look that term up and you Google that. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo last night? Because he had very little help offensively from his star players. Bobby Portis was great. Without Bobby Portis last night, they don't win the game.
Yeah.
But the other guys, Middleton was decent late. He had a couple of big moments late in the game. But for the most part, Holiday and Middleton were not good. He scores half their points practically. So he's everything you could want in a star player in the face of a franchise. He epitomizes, I think, what it should be about to feel the weight and responsibility to do this for a franchise that drafted you if you reach this level of greatness. And that's what he took on when he signed that contract and decided to stay. And I think it's phenomenal for the league that a guy can prove you can do it this way too. It's a different script than what these guys follow now.
Yeah, I think the key now is, will free agents want to go to Milwaukee? They did make the trade for Jrue Holiday. They gave up a lot of draft picks for him. Feels like a young nucleus is there. I also wondered about this, Tim, and maybe I'm seeing something different. I thought that the series felt like it was shifting when Jrue Holiday started to pick up Chris Paul three-quarters court. It changed the tempo, made Paul work a little bit harder. And to me, I know we can talk about the Greek Freak with the block or the alley-oop, but that was a real subtle move by the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer, that I thought changed Chris Paul a little bit and changed the Phoenix Suns offensively. Am I reading into it too much?
No, you're dead spot on. And after the first game, you know, not even after the first game, about middle of the second quarter of the first game, I'm taking notes, getting ready to go on after, and I'm saying, this has to be the worst defensive game plan I've seen a team come up with to defend pick and roll in a long time. You know, you had 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, the Suns to prepare for the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks to prepare for the Suns. You have one of the best mid-range players in the history of the game in Chris Paul, and you're going to decide that you want to either switch all ball screens or put your big guy defending the screen 15 feet off the screen so he can come off unimpeded, get to an 18-foot area of the floor for a lean-back jump shot, which is his bread-and-butter play, and you let him have it the entire game.
Yeah.
And after the game, I mean, everybody was in on that, obviously, and they just pounding the Bucks and pounding their preparation. It made no sense. Give them credit. They made the adjustment, and they said, if Jrue Holiday's on the floor, he is going to target Chris Paul. And so not only picking him up 85 feet, Dan, every time Chris Paul brought it up after either made basket or a dead ball and Chris Paul's bringing it up, it was Holiday 75% of the time. P.J. Tucker was doing it. Jeff Teague would come in and even do it a little bit. And these guys were turning him, bumping him, just draining his power meter. That's what it did, and it took away his aggressiveness in the half court. But the other thing they did, in addition to picking him up, when Jrue Holiday was getting screened starting in game two, he wasn't handing him off to whoever came up on that screen. He was continuing to pursue Chris Paul. And eventually, with just enough help so he couldn't get off a mid-range jump shot from your big, when he would pick the ball up, Jrue Holiday then was back on his shoulder, making sure he wasn't going to be a factor later in the possession. So not only the wear and tear of all those possessions of turning a guy and bumping him and a 36-year-old guard facing full court pressure, which we don't see in the NBA ever nowadays, to do that, but also to say, you know, Drew, you're going to blanket this guy. It's like a cover corner, right? And I remember I'm a Washington football team fan, and we brought in Josh Norman a few years ago. And I was so excited because we needed a cover corner. And then the very first game, I'm at the game, and the star wide receiver for the other team, you know, goes in motion, and Josh Norman doesn't move from his side of the field. And I proceeded to watch this guy torch the other corner for a huge day. I'm going, what's the point of having Josh Norman if he's not going to cover this guy the entire time? That's what Jrue Holiday became starting in game two. It was Chris Paul is going to be targeted. I am the guy to do it. And that, to me, that subtle change completely changed the complexion of this series. And Chris Paul, until last night, basically was a non-factor offensively.
If every NBA player were healthy during the postseason, who would have won the championship?
Brooklyn.
Okay.
Brooklyn. I just don't know how anybody was supposed to deal with that level of firepower. To me, that collection of Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving, that is the single greatest trio of raw offensive talent ever assembled in this league. I do not know how you were supposed to have the personnel, the depth, the scheme to be able to defend all that. You're talking about three guys that can beat you on every platform offensively. They can beat you. They can make plays off the dribble. They can beat you from deep on a ball screen. They can beat you with the mid-range. They're all great finishers. what are you supposed to do with that much talent? And you can always have, Steve Nash can always have two of the elite offensive players in the game on the court at the same time and start and finish every half with all three of those guys. It's just too much for anybody to deal with. So it was going to be the Nets that were going to win this. And look, it is a narrative, Dan. We're not taking anything away from the Bucks. But you can't dismiss the fact that the Nets broke down, the Lakers broke down, the Clippers broke down. Even a team like Denver, with a healthy Jamal Murray after they picked up Aaron Gordon, that's a team that legitimately could have made it to the NBA Finals. So you can't dismiss all of the injuries, but give the Bucks credit. They took advantage of what the landscape looked like this year, and they broke through, and the confidence they have going forward could mean this is the start of a great run, because we don't know if the Nets are going to stay healthy next year. Those guys barely have played together. They have a lot to prove. And the Milwaukee Bucks are going to carry themselves like champions now. They believe they can get through any pressure situation based on the way they navigated this postseason.
What should the Suns do with Chris Paul, and what should Chris Paul do with the Suns?
Well, he's got a player option for $44 million, so I know he's not going anywhere. That's going to be, I mean, he probably signed that in the locker room last night, if he's smart, make sure he gets that $44 million. So he's not going anywhere. I think what they have to be honest about, look at their team. Just like we talked about the Bucks just now, the same thing with the Suns. Look at the landscape in the West with the Kawhi going down, Anthony Davis going down, Jamal Murray going down. This was the perfect storm for the Suns to make this kind of run this year. But they're a guy away. They need an all-star caliber wing with some length that can get his own shot, because you're not gonna get through the Western Conference next year if those teams stay healthy with what you have. So Chris Paul has a significant role on this team. I do believe that. But they can't go forward thinking, oh, we've got these two great guards and that's going to be enough because we went to the finals last year, assuming that, okay, Ayton gets a little bit better, Bridges gets a little bit better, Cam Johnson gets a little bit better. The problem is the ceiling on those three players is significant, is significantly lower than what we're talking about with these other teams and their second and third best players. It just is. Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson are really nice players. They're never going to have the kind of handle that you're going to need to be a 20 to 25 point scorer in this league on the wing. You're just not. And those are the players that lead teams to championships. So they're a guy away, but Chris Paul will have a significant role on that team, and certainly he's going to be untradeable if they decided to go in a different route and thinking, yeah, this could be a guy to get somebody else over the hump. At $44 million, I don't know how you do that.
Who should trade for Damian Lillard?
I'd love to see Damian Lillard in Philadelphia. If you pair Damian Lillard with Joel Embiid and the shooting that they have there with Seth Curry, that to me is a team then that can get into the mix in the East and truly challenge. Now, there's a lot of talk about that. Obviously, that would include Ben Simmons leaving town, which I think everybody in Philadelphia is ready for and they want to see happen. He's an elite level athlete and talent, but he is missing a gene that you need. And his fear of failure was so evident last year in the playoffs. I don't know how you go forward with Ben Simmons. Certain markets, Dan, are never going to forget and forgive, and it's unrelenting. And he's in one of those markets. I've spent 37 years living there. He's in one of those markets, which is another point actually about Antetokounmpo. I was thinking about today how blessed and lucky he is to be in a place that has shown him unconditional love, forgiveness, and support, despite the fact that he was a two-time MVP with the number one seed in the league and didn't make it to the finals. If he is in a Northeast Corridor city, there's a very good chance the media coverage, the fan base coverage, what he's hearing every day turns so negative and sour. If you feel like you have not lived up to expectations in a given year, he probably doesn't make the same decision he made to stay. The fact that he's in that type of situation allowed him to feel the love, even though they came up short and he was doing everything he could to get them there. That was a big factor in this. I think that's going to also be the situation with Ben Simmons and why he's going to have to leave. The first sign of him turning down a shot near the rim next season, whether it's game one, game two, they're going to start and they're never going to stop. until he's out. So I think they have to make a move. If they can do something with Portland and give enough Ben Simmons picks and maybe throw in a Tyrese Maxey or somebody like that, maybe that's enough to get Lillard. And Lillard and Embiid, that would be a very phenomenal combination to watch.
It was fun. Legs, thanks for your contributions to the show, not only today, but throughout the season. We appreciate it as always.
Always love coming on, Dan. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Legs. That's Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, former NBA vet. You know, it does make sense with Philadelphia. When you have fear of failure, and I look at Giannis because that's the comp, because he shoots free throws and he's not very good. He was last night. But he doesn't have a fear of going to the line. He doesn't have a fear of failure. And Ben Simmons has a fear of failure. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. Giannis would shoot air balls. He would go 1 for 10. Ben doesn't even want to get to the line to go 1 for 10. You can't have that. And that's why Ben has to be traded someplace else. He almost has to disappear to reappear. I think that would be really important for his development. We'll take a break. Your phone call's coming up. We got our play of the day, stat of the day. We'll settle on our poll question after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. Of the day.
Runner left, I got it! I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Chris Paul inbound. Looking in for Booker, who takes a three. No good. Tucker with the rebound. The Suns are not gonna foul. It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. Let the celebration begin.
Well, that's a great call. Bucks Radio Network. Bucks win their first title since 1971. Bucks are the fifth team to win the NBA Finals after dropping the first two games. And the first to win four straight after losing the first two since Miami did it back in 06. That's our play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that helps boost energy, burn fat. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping. 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Got a poll question, or at least we have one that's up. Fritzy put one up. But Paulie has a suggestion for a redo on our poll question. Yes, Paul.
Before the poll question, the announcer, I don't know the name of the announcer there. He was quoting a Tom Petty song, Room at the Top of the World Tonight. That's a popular Tom Petty song. Mm. But I don't think Tom Petty has any connection to the Milwaukee Bucks that I know of.
Or the city of Milwaukee or the state of Wisconsin?
Tom's from Florida.
Yeah.
Good quote, though.
So this is the song? What's the name of the song?
Room at the Top.
Room at the Top. Here's Tom Petty at 96 Rock.
I got a room at the top of the world tonight. I can see everything tonight.
I don't think this is a song that pumps up the crowd.
Well, they're getting a little wild. You want to chill them out?
Like, I like learning to fly, but I ain't got wings.
Yeah, me and Giannis are going to do it right.
Yes.
Middleton.
What?
I think when the Bucks go on like an 11-0 run and Monty Williams calls timeout, you blast that in the crowd and get everybody.
I don't think it blasts, though. Like, you could turn up the volume, but it doesn't. It's not a song that blasts.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's an acoustic assault.
Yes.
Running down a dream. In the afternoon.
Here you go again. You're going to pick on Dylan and Springsteen. Yeah. They're at least alive.
They are.
Don't pick on Tom Petty.
Ain't coming after me.
Don't do it, bathroom boy.
Nice. And I'll have enough wonderful nicknames.
Bathroom boy. We're working on a t-shirt for Todd.
Oh, dear.
We'll see. Did you see the t-shirt?
I got a glimpse.
It looks great.
It does. I like the colors. The colors make sense to, I don't want to give it away, but it's clever.
Yes,
it's
thank
clever.
You. All right, how about this? If my city could acquire an athlete, Giannis, Patrick Mahomes, Shohei Ohtani. They're all about the same age. Young and great. Man. Shohei plays around the world. Mahomes plays around the United States. Giannis is still emerging. If you could win two MVPs and then win the finals MVP and you're still emerging, that's pretty impressive. They're all well-liked players. Oh, I don't know. That's something to mull on, as we like to say. Let's go to Nick in Iowa, leads us off this first hour. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Third time, long time, 6'7", three Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you. I just want to say it's really refreshing to see these two teams battle it out. It was, you know, they're not super teams. They're solid teams with some key players. But I just can't say enough about how Giannis dominated, I think, the finals here. You know, he took early in the playoffs with the free throws. You know, he was being kind of taken apart about that. But then he came up last night 17 of 19 and just dominated on both ends of the floor with five blocks. And, yeah, I thought it was just a great performance. I think since probably early 2000s in Shaq with the finals. So I just wanted to get that across. And I just wanted to ask a quick question. Are we going to get some torturous / happy mock headlines from Todd today?
I don't know. I just come in. I don't know what to expect from Todd. But thank you, Nick, for the phone call. You know, here's the problem. Words that rhyme with bucks is not great for Todd.
Not great.
Yeah, just saying.
Family show.
Yeah, don't want to kind of toe that line here. Yes, Eden.
Big bagel energy, though, today from Todd again. That onion bagel energy really came out first segment once again.
Well, he was upset by the thought of being in the middle of a crowd of 60,000 screaming fans.
Without ginger ale.
Yeah.
I could see myself sweating and having a little mild anxiety or panic attack and my face getting pale,
Todd,
and not being able to get out of there, not to mention pandemic and whatever you believe or don't believe, masks and all this. There's a lot of stuff going on these days with a 65,000 people crowd on top
Todd
of
Todd suggested this poll question. Would you stand outside in the middle of a crowd of 60,000 screaming fans? No way or absolutely?
Doesn't sound that appetizing. I don't care how big a Bucks fan you are. Just like, you know what?
Those people look like they're having a great time.
They really do. But there is probably some in there that the camera doesn't zoom in on. It's like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here.
Brian in Florida. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. A lifelong Bucks fan, originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Congratulations to the Bucks. Guys, when you were just talking, you were back in when you were back in Milwaukee for the meet and greet at the Brewers game. The morning I was coming to meet you, true story. I got a call from my mother-in-law as I was walking out the door. My father-in-law fell, couldn't get up, got out to the car, started up the car, decided to call the wife, said, I think there was a message from your ma. I'm on my way to meet Dan Patrick. More important to meet you guys than going to help the father-in-law who fell. I'm now down in Florida with my new girlfriend. Got a great life. You guys got me through some hard times. If there's a better fan out there than me, I don't know. Love you guys. True story. Father-in-law fell. I left him laying on the floor to come meet you guys. True story.
Stay on hold, Brian. We're gonna send you some gear.
What a legend.
I know.
What a legend.
Yes, Paulie.
Father-in-law, not father.
Yeah.
Yeah, understandable.
I'm down in Florida with my new girlfriend.
Wow.
Legend.
More phone calls coming up, and we're going to check in with the Cowboys. Ed Werder will join us. Cowboys showing up to camp. That's coming up.